This morning, folks, as we continue to talk about the miracles of Jesus, hadn't been too long ago that we talked about Jesus. He fed the 5,000. And we know that this morning we're going to talk about Jesus feeding the 4,000. How he heals many people before he feeds the 4,000. He feeds the 4,000, and then he, after we get into that, we're going to talk about just for a moment before we go into the communion service about who Jesus really is, just for a moment. We know who Jesus is. He's God's Son. God sent him to the earth to die upon a cross for our sin, that we can have the opportunity to come to this table today, and we will have the opportunity to be able to partake in the Lord's Supper. But sometimes, folks, I think we kind of forget that Jesus loves you as much as he loves me. He doesn't love me any more than he does Irvin. He doesn't love me any more than he does JT or Brian. He loves us all the same. And sometimes we wonder about the things that happen in our life. I sometimes think about things that's happening in people's lives, and it covers a lot of different dimensions. It doesn't mean that you're sick. You could be sick. You could need, like we've been praying for Andrea. I mean, you could be thinking that you had more problems than what we really do. And God touched Andrea, and we're cancer-free right now. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I mean, what a wonderful thing. To give him the praise this morning for that. To give him the praise. So we're going to see that Jesus is healing this morning. And we want to give him praise for everything that he does. But this morning, folks, as we read this scripture, I want you to think about, I want you just to stop and to think about, how would you praise God? What would you praise God for this morning? Because so many of us say, well, Mike, I haven't been sick yet. I'm 80 years old, and I hadn't been sick at all. I'm good shape. I thank you, Lord, but I'm in good shape. That might be true. But I think sometimes we miss who Jesus really is. Let us start with the scripture this morning. It starts in the 29th verse. And it, Matthew 15, 29 through 39. It says, Jesus, now, let me stop again before we get started. So last week, Brian was talking about Jesus had landed on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And he went there and he found one lady. One lady come to him, and she had so much faith. And her daughter had a demon. And Jesus, because of her faith, Jesus removed that demon. Got back in a boat and come back to where we're at today. So he went over and he done one miracle. He removed a demon from this little girl. He didn't heal anybody else. He didn't do anything to anyone else. But he done for her. Now he's come back over, and so he's returned. And it says, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking, and the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. For they have been here with me for 3 days, and they have nothing to eat, left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they will faint along the way. The disciples replied, well, where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? And Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. So Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples and distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. And there were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see this scripture, there's many things to see here. But we see that Jesus he knew that there was a lady, a cross on the other side, that had this daughter, that had this demon. And so he knew that he knew her faith was great. She didn't have to tell him. She didn't have to come telling him anything. Jesus knows everything about us, folks. He knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. You might think that you can fool him. You can't. I guarantee you, you can't. Because one day, all of that hidden stuff we think we got hid and we're fooling God with, we will stand one day in judgment, and he'll know everything about us. So he knew this lady. Yet when she got there, the lady said to him, My daughter has this demon. And so she was begging Jesus to come and to take this demon away from her. And Jesus, he was talking with her. And she said, you know, even the dogs find a crumb under the table. A crumb under the table. And so, folks, she touched Jesus' heart with that faith that she had. And Jesus healed her daughter. He comes back across, and as he gets back across, there's a mountain there, mountain region. And as he gets back across, he lands the boat, gets out of the boat, and he goes up to the edge of the mountain. Now, you know, sometimes, I know y'all might not think I'm 100 yet, but I'm getting there. Sometimes I'd love to have a stool I could sit on. You know what I mean? And that would be pretty handy if I could sit down for just a second or two here and there. But he finds him a rock. And it's an open area there in front of him. And he sits down on a rock. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've sat on concrete a lot of times. It'll work for a little while, but not real long. You know what I'm saying? You got to be up and moving around. But he sat down on a rock where the people could be brought to him. And it says they brought, when he sat down, a vast crowd was brought to him. He expected, folks, he expected these people to come. He knew that he would have patients there that day, that he would need to heal. You know, I was thinking about that. We go to the doctor, and we were talking this week about one of the doctors that got too much business. But... you know, he's expecting every day to have more business than he can take care of. And so he sees a lot of people. So Jesus was expecting this. If you see a lot of people that are sick a day, I was thinking about this doctor after me and this guy had this conversation this week. But I would think that if I was going to see 100 people today that were sick, the one thing that I would need, not only do I need sick people to doctor on if I'm a doctor, I need some patience, because these people are going to have everything in the world wrong with them. You ever think about that? They got everything, and they want you to be I want to be the main one today, Lord. I want you to, Doc, I want you to spend the time with me, Doc. And that's the way we are with the Lord. We want to be the main one with the Lord today. We want him to spend his time with us today. I don't need you to spend time with Brian. I need you to be over here with me. I need you today, Lord. But he's there for each one of us. He's there for everyone that had a need. And you know, as I thought about this, the patience that Jesus showed these people, he was very, very patient with them. And the patience that he showed these people, they were amazed. The crowd was amazed at Jesus and how he responded to them and them being sick. But you know, folks, the thing that he did is just like he did when at the Last Supper. that Last Supper, he had these disciples sitting around a table. He didn't look at one and say, "Okay, Mike, your heart's not right. You're not going to partake in this supper. Okay, Judas, you're fixing to betray me. You're not going to partake in this supper." He didn't do that, did he? No, he didn't. He offered this to everyone. And as I thought about this, he offers everything, the healing. He offered everything that he had to everyone that come. He didn't judge them. He didn't say, "You're the most vulgar talking man I've ever heard. I'm not healing you. I'm not going to do that. What'd you come over here for? That's not what we're here for." He didn't do that, did he? He healed them as well. And they went about speaking, and they couldn't walk, and they could walk. So they were very amazed. Everybody was very amazed. But I ask you a question, folks. I don't know about y'all, but I've been sick a few times. I've been real sick a few times. And when I've asked God to heal me and to help me, I'm very appreciative that he did. I'm very appreciative that I got back to where I'm at. Like I told Randy this morning, I'm back to where I never dreamed I would ever be. And I think there's a lot of us here that's there as well. I never dreamed that I would be able to do the things I do and feel as good as I feel. And, I mean, you know, just wonderful. But as we get there and we see all of this happening, the Lord healing these people and all, I just wonder how many, along with us, how many of us every stop and ask God, "Thank you, Lord, for healing my soul. Thank you, Lord, for healing my soul and coming to be my best friend and coming that I could ask you. I would feel well enough to ask you like I would Brian or Mark or any one of us, that I feel close enough to you that I would ask you a favor. Thank you, Lord, for just for healing my soul and doing for me what I know that you can do." No, we don't ever ask him, do we? We don't ever thank him for that, do we? No, very seldom. I mean, we do, but we don't. We thank him if our tooth is hurting and it quits hurting. We thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. I didn't need a toothache. I've never had a toothache. I don't know what a toothache is, but I've seen Tammy have them, and they're pretty bad. But when they are healed, you thank him for it immediately. But do you ever thank him for taking away your sin? For dying upon that cross, do you ever stop and give him praise just for what he has done for you? "I am not crippled. I'm up able to walk. Thank you, Lord, I'm up able to walk. I'm able to still ride my motorcycle. Thank you, Lord. I'm able to go fishing. Thank you, Lord." I mean, do you thank him for the things that you are able to do each day? I mean, we don't. We wait till we get down, and then we beg and plead, and then we thank him. Folks, this is who Jesus is. This is what we're talking about. And then it says that they were there for 3 days. So he'd healed them. He had done everything. They were amazed at what he had done. It had been there 3 days, folks. Some brought, I'm sure, like Tammy does, put a pack of crackers in their pocket. You know, if we're going off with me especially, they probably put a couple of packs of crackers in their pocket. And so I'm sure we had a few packs of crackers, or we had a pack of Bobs, is what I call them. But I'm sure we had a pack of Bobs, or two, or three. But 3 days, you can't live for 3 days on a pack of crackers and this and that you got stuck in your pocket, beef jerky, that kind of stuff. So Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. They're fixing to leave. They're going to be going home, and they're going to faint along the road. They're going to pass out. They're so weak from being here with me." Folks, you ever stop and hear what he's saying? "We've been here 3 days, disciples. You hear me? What kind of food have you got? I need to feed these people." And the disciples are saying to Jesus, "Jesus, we don't have but a few small loaves. We got 7 loaves. We got a few small fish. My gosh, he just fed 5,000. It hadn't been a week ago. They can't even remember that. And now they're worried about feeding 4,000, you know? Really? I mean, I'd say, hey, I don't have but this, but I know you got it, dude. But they didn't say that. You know? No, they don't have the faith that they should have. I couldn't believe, if I'd been Jesus, I couldn't believe letting these dudes follow me around. I mean, you know, really, I'd say, hey, y'all probably not going to make the cut. Y'all need to. It's time right now for the NFL to make some cuts. And there's going to be a bunch of them say, hey, dude, you can't make the cut. You got to go home. But, I mean, don't you think that he probably thought this? But the patience that he had and the love that he had for each and every one, he just took it in stride. He took it in stride. And, folks, when we're here, now, last Sunday, we were there for about 3 or 4 hours at the lake. Beautiful day, plenty to eat, plenty to drink. Fun time. And nobody was complaining that I got to go home. Everybody was hanging out. But if we come up here and we sit down in these seats and we're here 3 hours, we're going to be saying, well, the Mexican restaurant's going to be sold out. Tom's already is gone. Now, what are we going to eat, Mike? What are you going to do with us? That's where we're going to be, folks. You're going to be saying, what do you think we're going to be doing here in the middle of the evening? We would be complaining, every one of us would be complaining if it was 2 o'clock before we got out of here. And they had been there 3 days. Do you ever stop and think about that? Do you ever stop and think about how much time do you actually spend with the Lord each week? And in that time, are you trying to get through your quiet time and get to something else? Or are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the time that you're spending with the Lord? Is it a happy time? Or is it just a time of something that I got to do? I know I need to do it, so I'm going to do it and get it over with. I'm going to get up early in the morning, I'm going to do it and get it over with so I can go on and do whatever I need to do. Sometimes that's me, folks. Sometimes that's me. And I don't know you, but I know sometimes it's probably you as well. Because we don't want to take time out of our day. We want to take the time that we want, when we want it, not the time for Jesus. And so we come to see that that this large crowd, and Jesus was feeding them. And folks, I want us to know and realize this. When the disciples bring him the bread, like I say, they done forgot that he fed 5,000. They bring him the bread, and he tells them, well, first of all, he blesses it. He blesses it. He thanks God for it. He gives thanks also before he fed the 5,000. If you go back in the 14th chapter and read about how he done it, he blessed the bread. God himself, the Father, blessed this bread and allowed Jesus to give it to the disciples. And it was in fullness. They didn't go away, part of them filled and part of them hungry. Each and every one of them went away full, folks. The fullness of Christ. It was the fullness that they had that they didn't realize how well fed that they would be. And so we think about the fullness of Christ. We think about our belly being full. We think about, all right, he's fed us. He's fed some of them people probably there a week or two before, a month before when he fed the 5,000. They're saying, hey, this is not a bad deal here. He's feeding. Every time we show up, he feeds us. We had to hang out a little bit longer this time, but he fed us. And so they begin to look at Jesus as being someone that they can go and sit in with, and then he feeds them. That's us, folks. We look at Jesus as being there when we need him. We don't look at Jesus as being there when we don't need him. He's there for us every day. He feeds us every day. And yet we only give him credit for that fullness sometimes. Sometimes. So we look at the fullness of Christ. We look as he know that he filled their bellies. They were all full. There was bread and fish left, and they gathered up baskets of fish and bread left over. So we know that they got all they wanted to eat. But folks, how many of them do you really think? How many of these people do you really think were filled with the Holy Spirit? How many of them were filled with Jesus? They couldn't get enough of Jesus. They really wanted to stay longer. Jesus, I want you to stay another day. I'm full now. I can make it till tomorrow. I want you to stay. I want to learn more from you. How many of us ask ourselves, do we ever say, Jesus, I want you to stay. I want you to be in my presence. I want to feel your presence, Lord. And when you ask him and you truly, truly desire his presence, when you truly desire him to be in your life and you truly desire the blessings that he has for you, you will feel it. You will feel his presence. You will know his presence. And you will be so happy. So, so happy. So folks, we look at the bread. It's Jesus. He's fed them with the bread and the fishes. But we stop and we think about who is Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. He tells us that he is the bread of life. Anybody disagree with that? That's what the scripture tells us, that he is the bread of life. So if he's fed us and made our bellies full, how much more does he have to offer us to make our souls complete, our souls full, our inner being running over with the Holy Spirit? Tammy was listening to this lady the other day. I can't tell you her name, but she was saying, I was full of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be full of the Holy Spirit. And really? You don't want to be full of the Holy Spirit? No, I want it pouring over me. I want it to cover me. I want it to be on the outside of me, where if Brian grabs my shirt, he can get some of it. I want it to be available to everybody. I want that Holy Spirit to be all over me. How many of us ever say that we want it poured over us? We don't want anything poured over us. I don't care what it is. So there we see the bread of life. Jesus is telling us. He tells us in John. And he tells us that I am the bread of life. He has everything for us, folks. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one that died for your sin and for my sin. No one else. No one else could do it. Nobody else would do it. But God loved you so much that he sent his Son because he loved you that much, that he was willing to die for you. He was willing to. So he supplies this grace for all of us that seek it more. You ever think about that? For those of us who seek this grace more, he supplies everything we need. So it may be bread, fish, but it may be that you need your soul to be saved. It may be that you're willing to give up your sin. You know, the one thing, folks, that I can't get in my head, I can't fathom, is the fact that you won't hear a word out of people forever. But you get sick, and buddy, they're calling, this phone's blowing up. I need prayer. I need prayer today. I'm sick. I found out I got this going on. I got that going on. I need you to pray for me. Won't hear nothing else from them. If they find out they're in good shape, won't hear nothing else from them. You know? Can't get that in my head. That's not me they're calling. That's the Lord they're calling. I got nothing to do with it. I'm just relaying the message of what they're telling me. But they don't speak back to him again. They're happy with what they receive. They don't think about needing the extra that God has for them, because it might require something of them. And so therefore, that grace that is there for the more, they don't receive it. They don't receive it. I guarantee you, I wasn't there, but out of all these people that he healed, all of these people that were healed in every kind of fashion, there were several that never reached back out to Jesus again. I guarantee you. Those that witnessed these healings, there were several that give up what they saw. There were several that said, "Oh, I don't know about all that. I'm not believing what I saw. So I'm not going to get involved in this." And they never reached back to Jesus again. But for those who did, for the witnesses that they saw, that saw and believed and received that grace and received that strength that he offers to us, it's just like we read at the pouring of the water. Just like we read. Those who have endured, those who will last, those who will be there at the end. Folks, we're coming to a time when you're going to have to choose a side. I guarantee you, I hate to tell you that, but there's going to be the right and the left, and you're going to have to choose a side. And when you choose that side, you're going to be there. You're not going to be able to get traded off like a bunch of these football players and baseball players have been doing. It's not going to be. You're going to have to choose this side and be happy with the side you chose. And my prayer is that we all know and understand Jesus Christ. We choose his side. We choose to be with him. And then what we read for the pouring of the water, we will not be thirsty anymore. We will not have any more problems, no more issues, no more nothing. And as in Revelation says, as John was saying, who are these people? Well, you know, Lord, who they are. They're the people that has endured to the end. They have loved you to the end. That's who he's telling you they are. And folks, are we going to be in that crowd of people? It's serious. It's serious as a heart attack. It's more serious than a heart attack. They'll get you over a heart attack if it don't kill you. But this is serious, because this is what we're going to die on. This is where it's going to be. So we see that we'll have this decision to make. That night at the Last Supper, we know that there was a decision to be made by Judas that night. Judas chose the world instead of choosing God. Even though he was there and to partake in the supper, he chose the world instead of God. I hope you think about it. I hope you know and realize how much God loves you. I hope you see that as we come to the table this morning. He came and died for you and for me alike. This is his body. This is his blood that you see right here. Let us bless this food. Oh, Father, we come this morning. We thank you. We praise you so much for your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and offered to us this Last Supper, the Lord's table, your table, Lord Jesus. And we so much appreciate that you don't come judging us. You tell us to judge ourselves, but you don't come judging us. You come desiring that we come and be drawn closer to you through the body and the blood of Christ. Lord Jesus, we pray that you use this bread that we have, that it will be your body, and that the blood, that the wine that we have, the juice that we have, will be your blood, and that you will use it for the remission of our sins. Lord Jesus, we just give you so much thanks. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and how that Holy Spirit makes us feel, how it opens us up to you, and that we can see you and feel you in our own little way, in the things that you do, how you speak to us, how you touch us, and how you love us. We thank you so much. So, Father, we ask now that you make this table be your body in your blood as we come to participate in it. Forgive us of our sins, for we are all sinners, and we ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen.